Welcome to the show. This is 219 The Talk, and y'all know we on every Thursday. We can't miss it. Okay, here we go. What's going on, Trainer Ray? What's going on?
Hey, what's going down? This is Trainer Ray at the Dirty Sip here on 219 The Talk, trying to see what's going on in the big Texas, baby.
Listen. Oh, look. And we got Onis. I'm going to tell you about Texas in a minute. What's going on, Onis? Onis is on the line. What's going on with you?
What's going on, H-Town? What's going on?
One more week. Look. Okay. Listen, a lot of things have happened that we are going to talk about tonight. And listen, we're going to talk about George Floyd, the guilty verdict. We're going to talk about how the shootings have increased after the guilty verdict. It's crazy. We're going to talk about some more good stuff. How do you feel about people not wearing masks anymore? You know, can we transition back into what they call normal? I don't know. We're going to talk about it. This is 219 The Talk. So, on the Philistine, how has your day been going?
My day has been going pretty good. I'm just, this has been just a coast-along day, waiting on the weekend, trying to line up some things, but, hey, just grateful to be here. Another day,
right.
Another blessed day.
Well, we got to catch up. You got a little cough there. We just want to pray for you and believe God can move and take care of you and, you know, and wipe that cough right on out.
Allergies. I don't care how much they say it's going to rain. These allergies are giving me a fit.
Yeah, my ears are itching really, really bad. I'm telling you, I'm going through it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, so you feel me.
That's right. Trainer Ray, what's been going on with you? Tell us about fitness evolution, all that good stuff. What's been going on? Photography. Tell us what's up.
Oh, man, you know, fitness evolution is doing okay. People still kind of scary, don't want to get out here and work out. But, you know, my photos have been doing pretty good. I get called sometimes to go out of town. I shoot a lot of places. And I'm what you call a traveling photographer. Wherever you want me is where I'm going to be. I'll come, I'll bring whatever I need, you know what I'm saying? So it's been doing okay. Everything is kind of slow, but it's getting back up there. The photography business, Photo Creations LLC, is really trying to pick up a little bit, which is good, you know. And I've done a few shoots over the past few months, but it could be a lot better. But other than that, everything is great, man.
All right, that's good. I'm signing up for my photo shoot, okay? You need to come out here and do 219 The Talk photo shoot. You know,
I'm ready.
We ready.
You can shoot my before and after pictures. Before, now, and then my after when I get, you know, down to my fighting weight again.
All right. Listen, I posted on Facebook, and I know they don't want to hear it from me, but I'm trying to get super sexy. You understand me?
Yeah.
And I done lost a lot of weight. Listen to me now. I lost a lot of weight. My daughter say, Mama, I can see you. I say, listen. I got a right to be fine, too. I ain't got to go out there and be half naked like half of these. Let's move on.
Amen.
let's move on.
That's a whole another conversation right there.
Another conversation. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
They out here wearing them Simo clothes.
Simo.
Mm. I just seen a mother walking down the street with five kids with the polite political Daisy Dukes. We'll just call them Daisy Dukes today.
I know what you were gonna call them.
Girl.
Oh my God. With everything hanging out, with everything. I told the kids the other day, and since we got a man on the line, I'm going to ask him a question in a minute. I told the kids the other day, I said, anytime you got something on and you could see the toilet ring, anytime you got that on, you trip. You really trip. That's too much.
Oh, my God.
You done went too far.
She said toilet ring.
You can see the toilet ring. What you mean?
Owners know what I'm talking about when they're short. Let's move on. When they so short, you might as well say they came out the house in their underwear. All I'm saying.
Basically.
It's kind of like, let me ask you a question, Train Ray. Okay. Do you think it's a difference between a bikini and a bra and panties? Do you think it's different? Think about it.
Technically, no, because they pretty much the same, except they call one an underwear and one a bikini.
Exactly.
Just the material.
And the material might be a little different, but other than that, it's the same thing to me.
That's all I'm saying. I was having this discussion with somebody, and they said, no, a swimsuit is a swimsuit. But I said, what's the difference? It's covering the same thing because one of them is sold as a swimsuit. I say it's still underwear.
It is. It's the material. It's strictly the material.
I'm going to tell you, they were trying to, here in Mississippi at one point, they were trying to make the police regulate these guys that wear, you know, the sagging pants and all that other stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And the guy that they were talking to, one of the councilmen, he said, we really can't enforce that for the fact that if a woman go on a beach in her panties and bra, and you're not going to say anything to her. If she wear a bikini and a bikini top, you're not going to say anything to her because everything's covered. He said, so really, truly, you can't say anything because they're covered.
He made a good point. Oh, wow.
He made a good point, but it's just the fact that I don't know. I'm all for being sexy.
I'm all for that looking like a woman. That's what I call it.
You classy, not trashy.
Exactly.
The sexy mean that I have to show skin. If I'm not showing X amount of skin, does that not make me sexy?
And another one. If my clothes aren't so tight, you can see my heartbeat or my pulse. I'm just saying. Am I not sexy? Because I promise you, I will put a muumuu on, honey, some bangles and some earrings and face be made, listen, and be just as sexy as I want to be. But, you know,
some men say it's what you can't see.
Some of them do. Okay, since we got turned around here.
Who would you take home to your mother? Who would you feel more apt to take home to your mother? Someone that, you know, had a T-shirt on and it looked like that's all she had on because her shorts were so short you couldn't see them unless she bent over. Or a crop top, you know, big chested, barely inside the top with a mini skirt on. I mean, you know, who would you more be as a man? Who would you more so take home to your mom? I know for me, who I would rather present to my mom, being a woman and a man.
I don't want his hands sagging
or, you know, 50-11 tattoos. You know, I mean.
Well, with me, go ahead, Trainer Ray. You want to say something? Go ahead.
With me personally, it don't matter, because my thing is, my mom's always said to me, it don't matter. I'm the one that got to be with her.
Yeah.
And for
oh
two,
God.
So she's not gonna be like, boy, don't bring that girl up in here with her half dressed, ain't got nothing on.
Yeah.
She's not gonna say all that. She's gonna be like, hey baby, how you doing? Come on, get you something to eat. So she she always told me she gonna love whoever I bring home. So and she always said, she always would say, I ain't gotta be with her. You gotta be with her. So hey, it's what it is.
Ladies, their thing is, don't bring no half-dressed girl up in this house around, you know, some have, still have husbands or whatever, and you would have to respect that.
Right.
You would have to respect the way she see that. Now, if there's not a man there, yeah, it'd be more apt to say, you know, okay, well, like you say, you got to live with her, you know.
And I really, honestly, I remember when I was younger, I'm just talking about myself. I went to my mama and daddy house. After I had moved out, I thought I was grown, right? And I was a skinny mini, you know, I was, you know, fine, like, you know, fine as cat hair, whatever. So I came over there in a spandex skirt. Do you hear what I'm saying? My daddy was outside working on the car. I walk up, I'm telling you, nothing left to the imagination. I'm clothed now. And my daddy rolled from under that car. Looked up. He said, well, you should have just came outside naked. I was done. I was so embarrassed.
I hadn't
even thought about how tight that skirt was and respecting my mom's house. You know what I'm saying? My mom's a woman of God. My dad, just period. He's my dad. He shouldn't have to see me, you know, in something provocative, let's just say. Because that skirt was so tight, nothing was left to the imagination. Nothing.
So what makes him, did your dad different than any other man seeing you that way?
Oh, no, I don't. Listen, now, if you're my husband at home, I'm, you know, that's something different. Outside of the house.
Booty ball, nigga.
Wait, what happened?
You said you was at home with your husband. But booty ball, nigga. I'm just playing. Go ahead.
I did not say that.
But then on the flip side, okay. I always like cute. You know, I wore shorts, never short. You know, tight, but, you know, never, I guess if it's tight, it's revealing. You know, I just never felt comfortable, you know, with breasts and booty out. And, you know, I've always been a voluptuous woman. So the first thing, even growing up, you know, men comment on your attributes. So it wasn't comfortable for me, you know, to put it out there like that. But some women, is it wrong for them to feel proud of their body and this is the way they choose to display it?
No.
I'm proud of it. I want to put it on display.
Well, I think I was raised in a Christian home, so me wearing provocative stuff after I left my mama's house, I was trying to keep up with people, you know. Somebody didn't tell me I'm sexy, you know. But then after I got real grown, started having kids, and they started bringing friends over, I didn't want to be sitting there looking like a cougar, you know. I wanted respect for myself, you know. Respect my house, you know. The little girls come over with my daughters, and they got
the tightest dresses on and all that. After I give him something to eat, then I say, baby, do you know the Lord? You know, I'm just one of the people. You know, do you know the Lord? You know? But yeah, I think it's just everybody's raised different. You know, where I would think that Daisy Dukes is not for me. You know, somebody else in my generation will put them on and not have any problem with it. It took a long time for me to wear jeans. It took a long time for me to wear jeans because when we were coming up, we couldn't wear pants. You know, we was in that type of Christian home. We couldn't wear pants. So it took a long time. Even right now, I don't have a whole lot of jeans. So I think it's just, you know, the way people are raised. Okay, I got an announcement to make. I just saw this pop up on my screen. Gladys Knight passed away. Gladys Knight.
No.
It says the untimely death of iconic singer Gladys Knight.
No.
She passed away. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well,
I got a.
One thing I've learned recently, we got a lot of people leaving.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Young and old.
Young and old, that's true. Okay. Well, we just want to, just a moment of silence for her and her family. Okay, so now let's move on to our next topic. Okay. The George Floyd verdict. I'm going to start with Trina Ray. How do you feel about even the trial itself? Did you watch it? What's going on? You know, weigh in on it.
Well, I was seeing bits and pieces. I didn't sit down and just watch everything. But I looked at it like really and truly they drew something out that they knew already was wrong. And I feel that they had to do something anyway because if they didn't, they about to find out that they fit it back. About to tear up again. So, but my thing is behind that is, and I've seen it too many times. If it was a black guy that had killed a white guy, would they had drawn the trial out so long, and would it have been on TV? Because a lot of times when we have blacks on white, see, you haven't heard anything about a black cop killing somebody white, but now you know you hear about the white cop killing the black. And they drew the trial out. They had all these hundreds of experts saying this happened and that happened. And anytime you hear anything about a black killing somebody, the trial ain't going out that long, for one. For two, he'd probably already be under the jail or beat up so bad that you can't see him anyway. And I feel that they really had to do something anyway because they didn't. They was already set up to set it off anyway. So I think it's about time that they started convicting the officers that are doing the wrongdoing. Because they hadn't been doing that all the time, so now it's about time they start showing that maybe it'll stop them from doing what they're doing, but don't look like it, because it looks like it's increased.
It looks like it's worse.
Okay, Honest, what do you want to say about it?
It was very disturbing, first and foremost, for them to continuously show a man losing his life over and over and over and over again. And it was a three-ring circus to me because he killed him. He killed him. What was the debate really about? They killed it. And then I think when they awarded the family the $27 million prior to the trial even beginning, I think they basically offered this guy up, in spite of what he did, as a sacrificial lamb. I don't think they meant to win. They meant for him to go to jail to basically quieten the noise. So we'll go ahead and, you know, why would you give the family $27 million and you haven't even started to proceed? You hadn't even picked the jury yet. So I think, they meant for him. And his lawyer did a horrible job of defending him.
He just went
through the motion. Then they never let him take the stand in his defense, which what could you say? So I think it was just a cloak and dagger type situation. He knew he was going to prison. He just didn't know for how long. Because if you really think about it, the police department themselves, when do you see them testify against one of their own?
Okay.
I don't care how wrong he is.
That's true, though.
So,
you know.
Yeah.
They had that discussion with him before court. Hey, you going to jail.
If we don't send you to jail, what went down when it first happened was going to happen again.
That's true, because I promise you, when I was watching that defense attorney, I was like, whose side is he on? Especially when he just kept playing the tape. And I said to myself, now, if anything, he should have stayed on the other side of that vehicle. Because showing what was happening with the police, all of those cops on him, that didn't make it no better.
What they did is they tried him by himself. The other four, their trial, they separated it. You're going to jail probably for the rest of your life. Your wife is already in process of divorcing you. We're going to offer you up. But I heard it was a story behind the story. So I don't know. I'm waiting on that to come out. That he knew Floyd already.
Yeah, I heard about that. Wow.
They've been saying that from the beginning. They said they had a run-in before, so.
He was working security outside the club, and Floyd was on the inside of the club. Well, I know this, that if they, like you said, Onus, if they did not convict this man, just like it was crowds waiting for the verdict, they were waiting to know what they were going to do next. And it was going to be some mess. Yes, it was.
Yeah, they had already called the National Guard out.
They already knew if they hadn't convicted him, they already knew to get the fire department ready because they finna set it off again. They finna set it off again. And then it was going to trickle down because it wasn't just going to be there. It was going to be a lot of other states that was going to kick in. So they already knew they had to keep the drummer down. So to keep the drummer down, we got to convict him. When you said the defense attorney did a bad job, ain't nothing he can do anyway.
That's true.
Nothing he can do.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Because he was already set up to go to jail. Because they already told him. I'm sure they prepared and said, look, man, you did it. So ain't really much we can do. I mean, we're going to fight. We're going to take it to court. But them folks gonna lock you up, because if we don't, and I'm sure the mayor, I'm sure everybody, the governor, I'm sure everybody was already set up for like, okay, if we don't lock him up, we finna get ready to do a whole bunch of rioting. It's gonna be a whole bunch of shutdowns. It's gonna be a whole bunch of police head busting, and so, and it might have trickled off to become a war, because blacks are getting tired of getting beat up.
Oh, they're getting tired of. They're getting tired of their children getting killed in the street like dogs. They're getting tired of it.
But I got something about that too. I read that, but I'll say that later.
I have another question too. What are we expendable? Because I have a video of a gentleman, I can't think of his name. I have several videos. He's an activist. He said, in less than a year, they passed a bill for the anti-Asian harassment or whatever. But we've been getting killed in the streets for years. So within a year, you pass a bill to leave them alone. But you can't pass a bill to protect us from the police. So what makes us so expendable? What makes them so better or more important? I don't understand.
You want to weigh in on that?
If I'm not mistaken. I'm going to have to find it, though. If I'm not mistaken, matter of fact, I'll wait, because I'm going to find it first. If I'm not mistaken, there's part of the Constitution that say blacks are not human. And I've heard that before. I was actually looking for it. But there's part of the Constitution that says we aren't nobody. We aren't human. At that time, we wasn't considered to be anybody. But like you said, what makes us expendable? Because people have been trying to do genocides and clean up the race for years, and they just started. So this is something that's been going on for a long time, where they've been trying to find a way to kind of take out the black race or really any other race that's other than white.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you do that when we keep intermingling and mixing and mingling? We all caught up in every race on earth. We crossbred in Asian, white, Mexican, Native American, parts of Central America, Brazil, Puerto Rico, Cuba. Some of them, they're nappier than ours. Why? Because we've been crossbred, so how you going to get rid of it? You're going to get rid of the majority of the Earth's population.
But, Ed, you got to know, too, where law enforcement came from. You know, why was law enforcement formed? It was first formed to deal with slaves, to deal with black folks, you know, to keep them in line, you know, by any means necessary. Hang them, beat them, you know. Whatever they could do, you know. So they really, what this society does not like to do is deal with the root of things. They don't want to deal with the root of things, you know, and they don't want to admit anything. It's only when something is exposed that they decide to deal with it.
True.
They are not willing to get to the root of stuff. When they start removing these statues and start doing these different things, it was only because they want to protect their property. They want to protect their children. It has nothing to do with making things right. Nothing at all. People want to protect their stuff. They want to protect their family. They want to, and it's partly, some of it is on us, because we will protest, we will speak out, we will do these things, and then months later, we sleep. Months later, we right back to, you know. But we need to get to a place where we are always doing what we need to do to make sure our children don't have to deal with the things that we're dealing with right now. Our children's children, you know, people that sit down and
But what are we doing?
Exactly. What are we doing?
The only reason that this has gone on as long as it has is because I believe of the traumatic viewing of a man dying on TV, international, not just national, international. He took his last breath with the world watching. So
the biggest thing is us being black, we allowing these youngsters to go out here and do the stuff that they're doing, but nobody's taking the time to educate them, to teach them about their rights or what they can do other than be out in the street killing each other. Because me personally, everybody protests about the white cop killing the black guy. White cop killing the black guy. Ain't nobody protesting against these blacks killing blacks.
Come on. There you go.
We need to put a stop to that, too, because they always gonna, the police are always going to say we're justified for what we do because they're killing each other.
Yeah.
They kill each other every day. And like I said, most people don't understand, like, part of the Constitution, it said in 1857, said the Founders' Constitution regarded blacks as so far in that they had no rights, which the white man was bound to respect, and that the Negro might justly and lawfully be reduced to slavery for his benefit. So technically, we have no rights at all because of the Constitution. But, and as you were saying, you know, about the blacks doing this and that, or how do we do it? We're going to have to start teaching our kids and other kids and younger kids that's coming up that we need to know more about our own race. We need to stop killing each other because it ain't just the whites killing black. It ain't just the cops killing black. It's the blacks killing black. So when you kill one of your own, what you think they think about that? Oh, well, another one gone. That's one less we got to kill.
You know what?
But until...
We can actually, just like you said about black killing blacks, we can actually go into the actual black culture and look at a lot of the things that were, I guess you could say, introduced into our culture by slavery and masters and all this kind of stuff. And it's like we keep perpetuating that same pattern, right? So we're over here. We're not in slavery physically anymore, but we still do things, even in our household, putting the husband out, getting, you know, all kinds of stuff. We don't take any pride anymore in staying married. We don't take any pride anymore in raising our children to be respectful or making sure that they honor their father and mother. You know, we don't, the principles that we need to instill into our children, And you know, we just don't do it anymore. Everything is relaxed. Everybody wants, you know, I was telling my daughter, I said, you know, I'm not your friend. I'm your mom. You know, even though she's grown, I had to tell her that. But we, as a culture, as a whole, we have to watch what we're doing. We have to, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how to even say it. It's like you want to have some pride. Which they do need to stop killing us. But let's go home. Let's go inside our households. Let's go inside our culture. Let's deal with our children. Let's deal with our husbands. You know what I'm saying? We got to do something at home. Charity starts at home.
It starts at home. In the home, like you say, it starts with us. They want black lives to matter, but our lives need to matter to us before they matter to anyone else. If I don't take care of me, how can I want you to care for me when I don't care for myself?
Care for myself, my Lord, that's good. Ooh, that was good.
So that to me, and like I said, you know, unfortunately, we have to sit our young men down and tell them, hey, if you come up against the police, raise your hands. Don't fight, you know, don't make sure you're in a populated area, you know, whatever. You know, we have to have that talk with our young men. But in the meantime, you know, like you say, teach them how to respect themselves. Don't be like everyone else. You know, you basically have to watch the people that you run with. You know, be above, be beyond. You know, really, you kind of like have to tell them, don't give them a reason to stop you, to look at you, to scrutinize you. And they shouldn't have to live like that, but unfortunately they do, because as a whole, the people, our people, we got so much going on, you know, till we make ourselves stand out negatively sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's you know, okay, look at the ones that are in college that go on to further their careers, opposed to the ones that maybe don't even know how to read. Maybe didn't even have a chance to go to school. Why you didn't have a chance to go to school? Can we say that they had the same opportunity as everyone else? Did we see this child not being able to go to school? Did we step up and try to help to make sure they went to school to at least know how to read, write? What was it, reading, writing, and arithmetic? Did we step up? Did we see it in our community? Did we try to do anything about it, or did we turn our head?
Before we go any further in the show, because this is getting good, I have to correct some information. So while we are on the air, I have been Googling Gladys Knight to make sure I gave out good information, because there's a lot of sites that say she passed away, right? So I did some digging, and it says Jim Weatherly, Gladys Knight, Midnight Train to Georgia, a musician, he died at the age of 77.
So the musician died.
And you got a lot of blogs that saying she died, but she's yet alive. I went to Wikipedia and a couple of places because I couldn't believe it. She
is
still alive. Yeah, that was a hard one to believe. William. Let me see, what is his name again? Because somebody will listen to this and think she's dead. You're not gonna do that one, Jim. Jim Weatherly, he was a musician with her band. He passed away.
Well, he's been with her since the beginning. If he did the Midnight Train to Georgia,
yeah, that's what it got. Okay, so I just wanted to throw that in there so we can make sure we give out correct information. And I want to give a shout out to all those people that listen in, because our show has gotten great ratings. Well, really everything that's on the My Gospel Soul Network, the ratings are up. So we want to send a shout out to everybody that's listening, you know, and tell y'all, hey, thank you so, so much. All right. So let me throw another a topic for discussion. It's in the same genre. How about the police officer, the lady police officer, that thought her gun was her taser? Go.
Let me tell you about that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. She might have been scared to death, but everybody knows the difference between the weight of a pistol and the weight of a taser.
Mm-hmm.
Both going to weigh different because the gun is going to have some rounds in it. So the gun is heavy by itself. Plus the rounds in the gun is going to make it a little heavier. And yet your taser is yellow and black.
Come on now.
There's no way you're going to get that confused. Your taser is yellow and black. There's a color code on your taser. So there's no way you're going to get that confused between the weight of a pistol and the weight of a taser. Now, she said that because she was scared, and for two, was trying to get a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to do the same thing they did to him and slap her on down somewhere, because she probably did it on purpose. She hollered, "She's scared," but she thought it was her taser. If you thought it was your taser, you should have looked at it. You should at least, when you pulled it out of the front of you, you should have looked and
yeah.
saw that the color was yellow and black. If it wasn't yellow and black, that means you knew it wasn't your taser. So, I never sit here and believe that nobody. And then they said she'd been on the force for so many years. And
you've
been on the force all these years, huh? And you've been on the force all these years, you know the weight of your gun.
True.
You're not going to get around that. I'm sure that taser has no weight compared to what that pistol has.
Exactly. But look, okay, let me flip it, right? This young man, this is some what our culture, some people in our culture are saying. This young man should have not resisted arrest. He should have, but that goes back to what Onis was saying earlier, right? It's sad that we have to teach our young people how to behave when they, or how to act when they are, confronted by the police. It's a sad thing to do, but another video I saw, a young man was running. He was running. Then another one was fighting. Another one was tussling. And I said, you know, it's sad, but this is something we have to do. We have to let our young men know, especially, that there is a target on you already.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stigma
yeah.
on you. There is a, what do they call it? Police, what is it? Profile, and they already profiled you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a nice car, if you got jewelry on and, you know, nice haircut, you know, your seat is leaned back, they already come to the car with a plan. Let's say it like that.
That's true.
They come to the
That's
car.
True.
And I'm going to tell you, the police officer, if somebody has been on the police force for 15 years, it's a time where they need a break. It's just like PTSD. If you got a cop that's been out there, you know, witnessing drug dealers and shoot, you know, and all kinds of hardcore crimes, trying to do a traffic stop, I think something wrong with that. I think a person that has seen all of this kind of stuff, right, should not be stopping somebody for a busted taillight. You know, I just really think that should not be happening. You know, I think that they should be, you know, put them at a desk for a certain amount of time so they can detox, you know, send them to counseling, you know. But they don't do this. He's been on the force 25 years. I can't believe he would kill a kid.
Why not?
Yeah. Can I say this? And I want you to think about what I'm going to say. There's been a stigma of cops killing, people whooping blacks for years, way back to slavery days when cops came out, and if you did something wrong, they beat the brakes off you, right?
Yeah.
They've been doing it so much. When a kid gets stopped, he's terrified already.
Already.
I don't care what you do. He's already nervous because he got the blue light. He may not be doing anything wrong. It may be just for a tail light. It may be a turning signal. It may be something dumb, but he's already terrified. So he's been seeing all these people get killed on TV and by cops. His first response is to book. Why? Because he's worried about getting killed. He's worried about if he's going to die. There's been many instances or incidents where they don't report or they say the police always say, if you ever listen to a video, and if you, like back in the day before it really got really exposed, if you ever listen to a video on the news, you always hear the cop holler, stop resisting, stop resisting, but you might not be moving.
That's
a way of justifying what they do to you. So if you sit on the ground, and if you move very slightly or you don't move at all, the first word they're going to yell, it's been many videos way before all this, way back in the day when they showed something on the news about a cop getting into it with a guy in a store, all you hear that cop hollering is, stop resisting, stop resisting. But and if you're looking at the video, he's not moving at all. But the what he's hollering, stop resisting. Why he's yelling that? Because when they go and ask these other people that's standing around, when they go to interview them, what did they hear? They're going to say the cop said stop resisting. So that's all they heard. They're going to say he was resisting.
Mm.
And people not realize, they're not understanding that cops do that to protect themselves, to keep themselves from getting in trouble for doing something wrong. Mm. Because it's easy to say stop resisting when he ain't resisting and to get to justify what I'm doing to you. If I'm a cop, for what I'm doing to you, if I yell stop resisting, everybody that's around me, the audience, the people that's watching with cameras, people that's looking on, when they come and question those people about what did they hear, they're going to say the cops kept saying stop resisting, even if these people didn't see the incident themselves. But all they heard was him hollering stop resisting. So what people got to understand is you can teach your kids all day to not resist the police, to put your hands up, but all it takes for you to make one slight move from him to pull his pistol, because you might be getting ready to throw your hands up. You might have your phone in your hand. You know, most kids have their phones in their hands.
Yeah, and they get shot behind that.
Behind a phone. So they're already terrified once they get pulled over. When them lights hit, the first thing, just be in a car with a child when them lights hit, and they're going to panic. So when that cop gets to ask questions after they seeing all this stuff on TV, the only thing they know to do is get home to their folks because they're scared. They don't know what to do, and they're out here driving by themselves. Now, the ones that are doing dirt, that are wrong, out here driving drunk or with drugs, now they're going to panic too. But the kids that are honest and ain't doing nothing, they're going to panic because they're seeing it on TV. Raise their hand. They need to make sure they ain't got no phones in their hands.
Nothing.
Don't do nothing, because that flash of that phone from a light or anything gonna get you killed. And don't panic. But most kids, you can tell them all day, don't panic, don't panic. Let them blue lights hit. They're gonna panic. So it's hard to break them from seeing something they see on TV every day. When they show these cops killing these guys, the first thing the kids seeing it on the news or seeing it on Facebook or seeing it on social media that these kids are black and got killed by cops. First thing they do, their instinct is, I need to get home to my mama. What's the first thing when people do? They get scared. They spend the kids. I want my mama. I want my dad. Because they're nervous. So they're thinking, I'm finna die. So it's going to be hard to make them sit still while a cop has got his blue lights on him and flashing his lights at him, telling him to get out the car. And he's like, what I do wrong? Just get out the car. And the white officers, they're going to talk to you wrong. I don't care what you do. They're going to talk crazy to you.
Yeah, they're gonna do it.
Huh?
Well, I'm gonna just say this, which came from a wise person. For those that are listening, you cannot win your case on the side of the street. You can't win it.
Right.
You know, you got some, like you say, you got some kids that they gonna do what they do, but grown people. Let's talk about the grown people, okay? You cannot win your case on the side of the road. You can't. You can't. You got to think about your wife. You got to think about your kids. You got to think about the people that love you. And you got to make sure you look, tell them, hey, I'll take that ride to the police station. You know, hey, my hands are behind my back. I just want to get to the police station. You know? So, like I say, it's sad we have to say that, but look, you can't be taught. Look, I'm just saying.
But you know, it said land of the free. Are we really free?
Nope. And you know who else not free? And they finding it out now. Hispanics aren't free. Asians aren't,
Asians aren't free. Indian people that's over here, you're not free. Look, some races think because they done bought a whole blocks in a whole part of a city that they free.
Baby,
you're not free.
You ain't
not
free.
Not in the United States until they honor. So they honor their word. Because let me tell you something. The United States can go over and fight everybody else's battle and try to make them act right, but they cannot deal with what's going on right here in these United States, all of them.
Nope. But see, the thing is, until Whoopi Goldberg what's in the color purple, until you do right by me, until they do right by us, first and foremost, before us were the Native American, until they do right by them, and then do right by us.
Come on. Because first of all, we have to be over here.
Thank you. And the Indians befriended them when they came. They helped them. Some of those people, they would have died if it hadn't been for the Native Americans over here. They would have died.
But while the Native Americans were saving their lives, they were stealing their stuff.
That's it. That's why we call them colonizers, you know.
Oh my God!
And then here you come, you know, ripping us from our motherland and bringing us over here, you know, to build someone else's land up. You know, it's just a very sad. It's very sad.
It is. It's very, very sad.
You know, when you just sit down and you think of it, and it's more expensive than, you know, what we're talking about. Some of our own people were to blame for us being, you know, being in slavery, you know, and being brought over here. Okay, we can't overlook that. But you know what? I don't care who you are, what race you are. There are just some people that are, you know, hey, they don't care. They don't care if it's their race or someone else's race. They're out for themselves.
Yes, they are.
But overall, you know, the things that were, you know, that were done to us once we got here, I just think it's so deeply embedded in us. Will we ever recover? Will we ever recover?
Well, you know, it's kind of like the Bible says, God is not unto them who are of a contrite heart and spirit, right? Contrite means you got to know that you need, or you got to know that you're wrong, right? And you also got to know that you need to change. In this society, people are willing to admit that they're wrong, right? But they ain't willing to change. See, both of those got to happen, both of them. You got to first know that you're wrong. Then you got to say, you know what, I know I'm wrong, and I know I need to change. Until you get people understanding that concept, because, see, some people march with you, because what did they do with the Indians? Some people will march with you. But at the same time, they don't want you at their dinner table. They don't want you married.
No, they don't.
The problem is going to be there. As long as there is evil being taught, as long as it's being taught, guess what? It's going to be there. It's going to be there. All right, Trina Ray, what you want to say in your closing today?
Well, in my closing, I want to say, you know, I want, for all the blacks or people that's listening, I'm a quote this thing real quick that people should listen to, and mainly blacks. It says, we believe that the future is what we make it, that we have a responsibility for the quality of our lives. If we are to become successful, we must unite on a basis of a common truth, organize within a progressive social order, and become inspired by a common set of ideas, and the time to begin is now. So as blacks, we need to start coming together. And like I said from the beginning, we believe that the future is what we make it. So we got to make it our future. We got to make the best of it. Regardless of what's going on in the world, what's going on in the situations, we got to learn to make the best of it. But at the same time, we got to protect each other and take care of each other and not cut each other down as we always been doing. And
that's true.
And in closing, I know tonight, I know we're about to end the show. I just want to, you know, let everybody know thanks for coming out and joining us tonight. Everybody that's listening, I enjoy being here. I enjoy being on the show with everybody, you know. And everybody need to come together and let your friends listen to the show. You know, if you listen to the podcast, introduce your friends to the show. So everybody can hear 219 to talk, let them know that we're here to discuss the coming ideas or the coming events of the day.
All right, Onis.
Yes, I would like to piggyback off of what he said. the thing is, you have to talk about it. We can no longer stand in the shadows. We have to teach our young people. And we just have to be active because, you know, as you said, it didn't get better, it got worse. So we have to start at home. You know, many people don't believe it, but, you know, I say put prayer on everything. It may not change the situation, but it'll help you deal with the situation better.
And give you hope. I know that's right.
Pray about everything.
Everything. I know that's right. Listen, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to 219 The Talk. Hey, do Black Lives Matter? To Black Lives, all right? We love you.
Yes.
We'll talk
Come
to you next
now.
Thursday at 8 p.m. I'm going to. At 8 p.m. Central Time, all right? Call into a live show next week at 347-826-9424. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
219. 219 to talk, 219 to talk, 219 to talk, 219 to talk, let's go. 219, yeah, 219, yeah, 219 to talk, 219, 219 to talk, yeah, you running your mouth, yeah, you running your mouth, 219 to talk.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getfargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.